This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, 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 yes.
Here's the siren. Arms in the air. Sun has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
But your boys can't get enough when the girls don't need your love. Cool says boys don't cry.
This is Gay FL.
That's right, you're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with your hosts Brendan
and Chris,
and we're here to raise hell. We sure are.
We sure are, and we are here at a brand new time slot at 9 p.m. If you've joined us from our regular 6 p.m. time slot, thanks so much for switching across. If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget we're at 9 p.m. now, and thanks for joining us as always. I just want to give a little shout out to our contact manager Elliot, who I mentioned in the last show. I made a joke that I was going to start with a swear word because we're at the 9 o'clock time slot, but Elliot, that was a joke. I'm not going to do that, but I can't promise what will happen later.
Yeah, we might say damn or hell or that's whack, but I think that's what we're going to say.
Basically.
But yes, we are back. We are back at Joy for our second season. We're a bit of a mid-season replacement earlier, like Buffy in its first season, and we're here and we're back and we're very excited to be here.
Yeah, and thanks, Jax, for letting us warm your spot over the summer.
Absolutely. So I guess the first thing we'll talk about was how fun it was and how exciting and a privilege it was to march with Joy on Sunday at the annual Pride March. What an amazing day. What an opportunity.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to be there marching with Joy. I actually commented to you on the day, this is probably the first time, I mean, I've always felt like I was a member of the queer community, but it's probably the first time I felt that I was not just a member, but actually participating in the queer community. And, you know, not growing up in Melbourne, it was really nice to have that moment.
It was so good. And to me, it was just a day of celebration and unity and just seeing all the different people, did you hear the way I said that? Whoa. All the different people marching and all the different groups. It was really exciting. I mean, Joy was there. Obviously, the Dykes on Bikes started, which was fabulous. But I think we were marching in front of TGV, weren't we? The Transgender Victoria.
Honestly, I don't want to get too political here. It's not my place. But I was so happy TGV were back after the conversations that had happened.
It was great to see them. And it was such a privilege to march. Even just alongside them was great. But I guess talking about footy, we saw the Purple Bombers. They were marching and the Ruby Demons. So shout out to them.
Yeah, always a pleasure to see them. And the numbers seem to get bigger with both those groups every year. And South Melbourne Football Club had a large contingency, as they tend to as well, which is always great. I think they're still the Swans.
I don't know. I just think one of the favourite things about it was, I have to say, I was quite proud of our looks. look, anyone that's seen us, you know, anyone that knows us, we enjoy turning a bit of a look, Chris and I. And
we do try.
We certainly did try. Look, I don't know if we always succeed, but
I've taken a few swing and misses over the years.
We certainly had a footy aesthetic on Sunday, and I was very happy with
it was kind of like a ripoff of an NFL jersey, but make it gay. Like, it was bright. Mine was pink and yours was black and pink, and they were covered in rhinestones. So it was very, very, very us.
Mine, I guess I loved, my favorite thing about it was my war paint, which was an homage to growing up an elder millennial, the classic Little Giants, a little homage to Icebox Becky O'Shea.
Yeah, that was certainly a moment. And we actually kicked on here at the Pride Centre after the VPC put on a great foyer and rooftop party, and it was so absolutely fun. Pumping.
Yeah, it was so busy, so fun. it was a wonderful day.
Yeah, it's always good to get around midsummer, and there's plenty more midsummer action coming on right now. I know the street party is on this weekend. If you venture out over the north side, there's still plenty of shows and things going on. Afterglow is going to start, which it looks pretty exciting. So, yeah, there's lots going on.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I just want to shout out to anyone that's listening. If you were at Pride March, or if you've done anything for midsummer, or even if you want to, feel free to text us. We'd love to hear from you on 0427 569 949.
And the good thing about midsummer, I mean, we've actually had kind weather this year. I know we're talking about the weather on a football show, but it has honestly been so nice to like have some great weather without dying in the heat.
Yeah, I remember last year wasn't too bad, but there was a year before where it was like 42 degrees and it was just shocking. But no, it was actually a really good day. It was a bit overcast, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, always a good thing. And the other good thing about midsummer, this is actually a bit of a segue. You'll see what I did there. Midsummer falls right before the footy season.
Oh my God. It's almost like a pre-celebration of the AFL 2026 season.
I feel like you have the season and then the women's season, and then there's Brownlow and draft and, you know, everything like that. And then football kind of goes really quiet. And then, so we kind of switch out of football mode, which we didn't do so much this year because we were doing the show, which, you know, there was obviously plenty in the off season to keep us entertained. But the good thing, we switch into midsummer, we go into our hot gay boy summer, and then we knuckle down for about 8 months of football.
Yeah, the whole what's the seasons? I'm having a little bit of a basic Brendan moment.
There's hot gay boy summer and football season.
No, I'm thinking of the actual seasons.
Oh, the summer, autumn.
Yeah. Autumn, winter are kind of like the footy seasons.
Yeah, this is a beautiful reflection. Actually, you know, speaking of football, and I don't know if anyone was listening earlier, if you have been sticking around, I actually was sitting in on the open table helping out Craig earlier today. Mm. Craig and Ethan have been a lovely support to us here at GAFL, so we thought we'd jump on and help them. They had a fantastic guest, and Craig's actually speaking, I believe, with Tilly Lucas-Rod next week.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, that's on the open table at 7, so definitely I'm going to definitely tune in for that one. They're an icon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We actually met them at the W Awards.
Yeah, we met them and their partner, Kath. That was a great, great, lovely chat.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what I think, though? I think there is lovely chat and we have so much more to chat about, but I think that we need to get more onto the football. Mm. Before we do, I think we need to shake it off for a moment, and I'm gonna chuck on a little bit of a song for you.
Mm.
This is Euphoria by Lorraine.
I just love myself, bitch. Who owns the throne?
You do, Mommy.
You're listening to GAFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right. Thanks for joining us back here on GAFL in our new 9 p.m. time slot. And thank you, Brendan, for making it here so late in the evening. It's always great to be in the studio with you.
No, it's great. I feel like at this time it's kind of like Big Brother Uncut or something. Ooh. I mean, that was Christina Aguilera's Vanity, which is a tune, an underrated bop.
It sure is. And one thing we know about this 9 o'clock time slot is not common for us to get over the river at this time of night.
No, not at all. Not at all. I really should be on the couch eating shapes, but yeah. I'm so happy to be here.
That's definitely a plan for after. And we were talking in the last break and we said we're going to get into some football stuff. I mean, this is a football show, so I suppose we should talk about football.
Yeah, I guess we should, right? We should talk a little bit about football.
Yes. And we did this last week and we're going to do this week. And we are probably going to do this every week until it happens. Is 29 days until football comes back.
29 days. That seems like, it kind of seems so far away, but not. I mean, that's longer than a modern season of Survivor.
It basically is. Yeah, I mean, especially the America versus the world.
Oh, exactly. Australia versus the world. Yeah, I mean, that's 16 days, but a modern season is 26. And I feel like 29 days of being deserted on an island with no football, it's basically the same thing. But I'm really excited for the season to start.
And you know what's even closer than round one?
Tell me.
Origin.
Yep, yep, yep. For those of you that didn't see, the teams have been officially announced and there was some speculation. And Chris, I'd love to know, what are your thoughts on the WA side?
Well, on the WA side, that both teams have dropped the full sides today. And one thing I will say, there are some possible late changes going on. I know Starkovic had to get taken out. I know Jez Cameron is in doubt.
Well, I mean, yeah, like obviously because of what happened last year, that injury that he had.
He broke his arm.
I mean, he was obviously set to be on the Vic side and now we just don't know. Like, he was officially announced, but anyone that didn't see it, Cameron suffered a pretty terrible injury last year where he broke his arm and he was playing for, I don't know, maybe two quarters when he probably shouldn't have been, but. Yeah. I'd love to see him back, but at the same time, I don't want the guy to injure himself.
No, there's a long season ahead. I know Toby Green is in doubt. He has a glute injury. We're talking about both sides here at the moment, just about the possible late omissions before we get into the full squads again, but because they have just been announced. And I think I read Max Gawn might even be in doubt. They might need to bring in a new ruck.
But I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, like one game versus a whole season, are you really going to risk a season-ending injury for one game.
Yeah, and obviously we talked about this as well, and, you know, there's a few clubs that are cursed by this season. There's a lot of preseason injuries already. Mm. There's some lingering injuries from last year, and there is, it was one of the things people were nervous about doing Origin again was, are we going to be able to protect players in order to basically allow them to not be damaged for the first season. And someone even was commenting about, are they going to play as hard? Mm. You know, because, well, will it be more of an exhibition style match? Whereas, which we didn't see necessarily in the All-Stars game last year where they did play very hard. But
yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. There's some very, very interesting inclusions. I mean, the biggest one for me, a little bit of Essendon bias as always, but Merritt. Like, I mean, there were rumours last year that when it was rumoured that Sam Mitchell was going to be the Vic side coach, there were rumours that Merritt, and obviously there was a bit of joking back and forth that finally Merritt can play under Mitchell, but Merritt was announced to be on the squad this year, so that'll be fun to watch.
I mean, fair enough, he's an awesome player, great midfielder. Mm. Who else do we have there on the Vic squad? Because some of them we talked about last week, but there's been some new additions as well.
Oh, was Dacos announced last time?
I think that was still being worked on. Holmes, I think, was a new one. I think the Bont might be a new one.
Yeah, the Bont was definitely a new one.
Yeah, Lockie Ash from GWS.
But I mean, looking at the rest, I mean, Matt Rowell, we always knew he was going to play.
Josh Battle from Hawthorn.
Yeah.
There's a few from Hawthorn.
Gunston's playing. Interesting.
It is interesting. And it's going to be really cool to basically see how these players interact, having not had a lot of preseason and training and bonding. But a lot of them obviously do know each other on and off the field. The WA squad dropped fully as well. Callum Archie's been added. I think we mentioned Chad Warner last week, Darcy Cameron, Jager O'Meara. We did know Hogan was in it and Cozzy Pickett. Lawson Humphreys has been added from Geelong.
Yeah, I don't think Waterman was announced a couple of weeks ago.
No.
That's a new addition.
I don't think Georgiades had been announced then as well. Mitch Georgiades.
No, you know what?
And Nate Broad from Richmond.
I'm pretty sure Georgiades was because we made a joke because friend of the pod, Mitch Brown, he's one of his mates, so I think they mentioned that. But obviously we got Shea Bolton, he's playing. But
Nathan Broad is definitely new.
Yeah. I think Tim English is was a new announcement today as well.
And Tom Barras from Hawthorn as well. So it's actually pretty exciting what's coming together there. And there's, we want to do a little thing we're going to maybe talk about really briefly about pre-season footy as well before we get on too far into it. There is a footy doco coming out on streaming very soon.
The Final Siren.
The Final Siren, which is sort of a behind-the-scenes look at the 2024 season, I think.
Yeah, I was confused at first when I saw the trailer, but I mean, there were certainly players that had retired beforehand. Probably it's going to be exciting to watch, like Nat Fyfe
last season has a big part in
that, but I think there's a bit on Toby Green. Yeah. I think I'll let you talk about that.
Well, I'm actually, obviously, I'm very excited to have a behind the scenes look at a lot of the clubs, because obviously for those that followed closely last season was a tightly contested top eight we've had in a really long time. But you know, Toby never wanted to shy away from a headline. There are some comments about no love lost between him and Marcus Bontempelli from the Bulldogs after that elimination final in 2019, I think. And Toby's shady comment, which I really love a straight man that can throw shade, was, oh yeah, I wouldn't have a beer with him.
Well, as he said, I don't think Bond's gotten over him pulling his hair, which I mean, fair.
Take your tops off.
I think it's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the doco. I know they're following in the footsteps of, there was a famous Michael Jordan documentary a couple of years ago, and they're following in the footsteps of that. But I just wonder, I hope we don't get oversaturated with AFL documentaries.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. But, I mean, we do wonder how much AFL is too much AFL. But, you know, at the same token, I'm keen to see what goes on with this. And do you know what I'm also keen for? You picked the next song, or I picked the next song. I can't remember who picked the next song, but we are going to jump into Can't Be Tamed by Miley Cyrus right after this message.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for staying tuned with us here on GayFL on Joy 94.9 at our new 9 p.m. time slot.
Yeah, I felt extra naughty there playing a bit of Miley, Can't Be Tamed. I love that song. I did. I like, not even a guilty pleasure way. I hate the idea of guilty pleasures. Agreed. I love that song. I think if you enjoy something and it's not doing harm to yourself or anyone else, enjoy it.
And I think a lot of people in our community can relate to the breaking out from the good boy or good girl image, or how, you know, into that having their bad girl era.
We all had our good girl gone bad era.
I did, probably multiple times.
Yeah. I think at our age, I think it's called a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I think there's millennials. We have an entire life crisis, which I'm definitely gonna own in our case, I think. But we have been talking about the State of Origin, and we've been talking about how excited we are for season 2026 to kick off. But you know what we haven't talked about? We haven't talked about, you know, we love a bit of off-field drama and a bit of a storm in a teacup. We haven't talked about the off-field drama of people calling, particularly I think the AFL Players Association is one of those people, and also people that we love to talk about, like Jack Ginnivan, calling for players being allowed to turn up to games in their regular clothes or their civvies, not in kit.
Yeah, there was an article from Sen recently, and it was by Kane Corns, and you know, he wrote, Kane Corns believes there was a bit of a push from within the industry for players to express their personalities by showing up in their own club attire, and it's kind of been a bit of a divisive opinion, hasn't it?
It's really, really got tongues wagging. There's certainly, I can see the points of view and have kind of a foot in both camps, And I know that there has been quite a push for the players to be able to show a bit of personality, basically, and that they're on field, they wear their kit, but for arriving and coming and going, there's that talk that maybe they can, you know, wear something with a bit more personality.
It's so bizarre, because I remember back in my day when I was a kid, back at the MCG, I remember running into the Essendon boys. Like, I remember... I have a vivid memory of running into Gary O'Donnell, and he was wearing a full suit, like full on. I'm talking shirt, I'm talking blazer, pregame. And it's like, it never really occurred to me that, you know, that they couldn't wear their own, I guess, their own gear before going into a game.
Yeah, no, it is definitely a thing. I think we all know that there's a lot more rigidity around what the players can and can't do. There's also a lot more exposure in the 24-hour news cycle and social media about what they do, you know, not just on field when it's being broadcast. And one of the biggest naysayers about this proposal is that they're worried, one, the Americanization. There is definitely talk about it being more like the NBA and the Americanization of AFL, which a lot of people are vehemently against. But the idea that the fashion can become bigger than the game, or kind of like, and this is a weird thing to say, but kind of like the Brownlows, that there's a lot of people that, you know, just watch the red carpet And that's what's talked about on the news. They don't necessarily talk about the football, which is, you know, I see both sides of that. I've certainly been on both sides of that myself. But I think the biggest fear is about the clothes becoming bigger than the footy.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like, here's the thing. They're young. Most of them are young players, mm-hmm. and they play really hard. And personally, in my opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with them showing up and dressing in what they feel like, as long as, you know, of course, it's not offensive and it's not going to cause any dramas. But I think they should be allowed to show a little bit of personality. I mean, I guess, you know, when they're making appearances at club functions and that sort of thing, like they, you know, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there is some sort of media precedent where they do need to wear their like club attire. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, you look at these days, and a lot of the players do have, if they don't have sponsorships, some of them are starting their own fashion line.
Of course.
Yeah.
And sponsorships I'd love to come back to, but your comment on the fashion lines is a great one. I mean, it's quite common for us to get around in the Drip label, which is, I think it's Jaden Laverde, who now plays for GWS, and Zach Merritt
both
at Essendon and started that together. I have a few shirts. We both have hats.
Yeah, I tell you what, I feel pretty hostile wearing my Drip attire to Essendon games these days.
It's kind of like throwing cat amongst the pigeons. But and what about who else is starting a fashion label?
Yeah, the man himself, Ginevedt. He looks like he's starting it. I don't know what it's going to be. It's Osk, I think, but there's some cute looking hats. I'll probably buy one when it comes out. But
I was going to, but the hats are the wrong. I have a weird shaped head, and those hats are not going to work for me. If young people, they're going to look great on.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't.
No, you can do it. That wasn't a shade at you.
No, fair. I know what you're saying. Thanks, everyone. Chris just shaded me on live air. Thanks.
That's okay. I'm sure you'll repay the favor plenty of times down the track. But
yeah.
I love it. And I'm all for the players having these off-field interests. And, you know, back in the day, players used to just set, like, buy a bar. And there's a lot of players that ended really badly for. So a lot of the players now are starting to think about, well, how can I use my platform to have these, you know, whether they're going to university or
if they're studying or if they're investing in real estate. I just think, I mean, it's not hurting anyone. Like,
no.
Let's be mad at the stuff we should be mad at. Like, old man yells at cloud. Let's be mad at terrible off-field behavior and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's not be mad.
The treatment of women.
Exactly.
There's so many more things to be angry about.
Exactly. It's like, Kim, people are dying. Do we have to be mad at them about, you know, wanting to wear their own fashion labels or their sponsorships pregame? I don't see an issue with it, but you might disagree with me. I'd love to hear if you've got, what are your thoughts to those listening? What are your thoughts? Do you think they should be able to wear their own gear beforehand or club mandated? Send us a text 0427-569-949. We'd love to hear some opinions.
And I'm going to say straight out, I do love getting old man yells at cloud. Mm. And I think I love complaining about keyboard warriors almost as much as I love talking about Jack Ginnivan. But I genuinely think it's fine. I think this is a storm in a teacup. I think we don't need to have a conversation about it, I think it also, I mentioned the sponsorships, you mentioned the sponsorships, it opens up these opportunities for players to gain like status or wealth or profile outside of just their on-field performance and in the modern game and with the salary caps being what they are. And I don't have a problem with players doing that.
Yeah, same. I think you should pursue any opportunity, like any good opportunities like that are presented to you. And they're not playing 365 days a year. No. So, yeah. But,
And unfortunately, as much as I hate to say it, there is more to life than football.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I know. You heard it first. Do you know what one thing I haven't, or we haven't talked about in a long time though, is Tassie.
Yeah. Well, is it happening? What's going on? Is the stadium built? Where is Ruman? Where is that cheeky little scamp?
I still genuinely love Ruman's socials. I pay attention to them almost every day.
Well, it's been a bit quiet lately, just like Tasmania, but there was some things going on recently.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it seems like they got the go-ahead for the stadium, so the club is going to happen. That's pretty exciting. You know, that's old news now, but it is very exciting. And they're entering the VFL. next year.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. They're starting to recruit players. Like, I know that happened in the draft.
Aren't they starting an AFLW side as well? Like,
they are, yeah.
But there's a bit of speculation about, and I'd love to hear from you, but there's a bit of speculation about potential coaches.
Yes, this has just been something that's been talked about in the last couple of days where they've the CEO of Tasmania has come out and said, or of the Tasmanian Football Club, not of the state of Tasmania.
Not the president of Tasmania.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
I don't know. Is there a president?
The plan is that they are going to have a head coach appointed by the end of this year.
I thought it was going to be like next week or something.
No, I mean, they said the end of this year. I think they're giving themselves a bit of time. It is quite a process to appoint a coach, particularly an inaugural coach, but you know who everyone's looking at, and this is like the worst kept secret in football, who everyone's looking at. Bucks. Nathan Buckley.
Yeah. I think it would be a great opportunity, and I think he deserves a bit of a second chance. Mm.
And I can't help but wonder, I'm pretty sure he was touted and sounded out for the Melbourne coaching job, because obviously he used to coach Collingwood. It wasn't necessarily the best, but he's older, a bit wiser, a bit more, bit more experienced now, and you know, he's probably reflected on that period at Collingwood. I think he deserves another go at coaching. And there was the talk about him going to Melbourne. Mm. But I think he, and I don't want to misquote him, so I'm sorry, Nathan Buckley, if I misquote you. The indication from him was that it wasn't the right time or the right opportunity, or maybe both. Mm. And I wondered at that time, was he holding out for this?
Yeah.
Because isn't he Tasmanian?
I don't know.
I think he might be, but I...
Yeah, Bucks, if you're listening, are you Tasmanian? Text in.
I know there's certainly a bit of interest to recruit Bucks. Hmm. And I also know there's a bit of recruitment speculation. And we're going to say a player's name who's been thrown around in the media, and there is absolutely nothing about this actually happening. Hmm. But the term was they want a Nick Daicos type player. They want that generational, once-in-a-lifetime game maker player.
Yeah.
And they're hoping not just to, I mean, they said it would be nice to lure some Tasmanians back home, but I think the idea is that they want to start, and they want to hit the ground running, and they want to try and do some pretty heavy recruiting in the off season.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So I will be very interested to see how that goes. Aside from Tasmania, you have been coming across some research about safety in the AFL recently.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to look at Angus Brayshaw. We know there's certainly been a couple of things that have happened that have, when it comes to CTE. Monash University and Game Gear, they're launching the first concussion trial with some new headgear. I think it's going to be NRL based. I know Jack's Game On talked about it earlier, actually, and they want to focus on NRL and AFL, which is sort of the common denominator when it comes to CTE. So, yeah, there's a world first concussion and head impact study. There's going to be a trial on some elite headgear, and look, I think that's great. Like I think that's wonderful. I mean, like I said, who can forget when Brayshaw, Melbourne, after that devastating head injury, too many concussions, just, I know scientists, you know, as a fan of biology, scientists haven't really worked out the long-term effects of CTE.
Yeah.
They can't be good. And I think if they're developing new safety strategies for players, I say bring it on. So I'm curious to see how the trial goes.
Yeah, I think anything that makes plays safer, particularly around head knocks, like you said, we're only starting to just now appreciate what happens long-term, and that there are some serious implications potentially. And it's not saying that every player should wear one. I think it should remain a personal choice, but I think the AFL is actually going to work quite closely with developing a product that's just for them too.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's wonderful they're taking the onus of that, and I'll be curious to see how the study goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'm also curious about is what song is coming up after these messages. Do you know what song it is, Brendan?
Yeah, classic, one of my favorites, a bit of Demi Lovato, Confident.
You're listening to GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9.
That's right, it's GayFL, a queer footy show with Brendan and Chris. And we've got one of our favourite segments coming up.
You know what it is. It's time for Stars Around.
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
So one I really enjoyed this week, I don't know if anyone else saw it, but Bulldogs prince, the prodigal son, Cody Waitman had come back to training for the first time after 353 days. He's had a couple of, you know, pretty bad injuries, had a couple of surgeries, five surgeries for a guy that young is pretty, I don't know, pretty crazy. But yeah, he was seen on Monday doing some training with the boys, and they actually got around him and they gave him a bit of a what do you call it?
A guard of honor.
A guard of honor. I can't even speak straight. But yeah, no, that was really cool to see. So it was good to see the boys get around him. So good on him getting out there.
Yeah, good on Cody Waitman. It's a long road from recovery, and I know he was questioning whether his future in football was still possible. It's still a long way before he comes back in, but very excited to see his recovery and good to have him back training. I have something a little bit more lighthearted than that. That was very uplifting. I liked that one. There is some great footage of it on social media too. But I have two for us this week. One is, you know, I do always talk about GWS, but Adam Kingsley, the coach of GWS, that's someone I haven't talked about much. And they were doing a scratch match. I think it was a training or a practice match recently. And like the coaches are probably used to being up in the, you know, in the rooms, like looking at not many coaches from the bench. And he decided the best view he could get was to stand on the roof of the club.
Oh my God.
And there's this delightful social media footage that our shady friends at GWS posted of him yelling at them to go away when they were filming it.
That's what they were going off about. I thought they just started filming some crazy old man.
Old man does yell at clown. Do you know why I laughed though?
Right.
I don't know why, but my mind sometimes goes astray. Mm. When I saw him standing on the roof, it just made me think of those safari shots where the cheetahs jumped up on the Jeep because and there are people in the Jeep going, what do I do? And they can't move because they just like the high ground. My mind kind of went there and I giggled to myself. The other thing that I giggled at was my second Stars Around story, where Optus Stadium have announced big changes at Optus Stadium. From round two this year, wait for it, they're serving full strength beer.
Oh, what were they serving before?
Mids.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Mids and light. They didn't. Yeah, so they didn't serve full strength beer, and they still currently don't at Optus Stadium for the football. They are going to agree to do it. I'm guessing some sponsorship deal got with someone. Not that I know that, but so they are. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you can get full strength beer at the footy over here. It's just part of the game for a lot of people, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
Will it be in play before State of Origin?
No, because State of Origin is in 2 weeks, and then it's not even going to be for opening round of round one. It's actually round two that they're introducing it, so not sure what the date is for that to happen, but big news coming out of the West.
Oh, very interesting. And speaking of news, we got a text from one of our listeners. Players should absolutely be allowed to wear their own gear on the way. Big issues than a player wearing a Jaws hoodie to a game, etc. Oh, thanks, Adam.
I also love the Jaws hoodie reference. I think that might be a little in-joke. I think Adam would like to wear a Jaws hoodie.
There. So keeping with that, we're gonna go on, and we don't have a guest today, but I actually want to ask you, Chris, some questions. I want to put you on the spot.
I did this to you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm very nervous about you returning the favor, but also very excited because I know you'll be nice to me. So it's time for
Get ready for some Gay FL quick fire questions.
If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Living.
So don't put too much thought in these. They're not too harmful. But I'm going to ask you, what's your favourite footy memory?
My favourite footy memory would have to be, and we were at the VFL last year at GMHBA because we'd not been to GMHBA. And we were walking around the ground just admiring the stadium and randomly ran into Kyle Langford, who had been returning from injury in the VFL. And I felt like his dad picking him up from swim training. he was kind enough to talk to us for a couple of minutes. Love Kyle. But it's honestly one that's right in the corner of my heart.
Les, what's your favorite piece of footy memorabilia that you own? And you can only name one because you've got a lot. No, you have to pick one, just one. Tough choice. You've got a lot.
I'm going to say what it is, but I'm not going to say it in full because it's quite personal. I got a delightful signed personal message footy card from Mitch Brown. that I found on eBay and shipped over, and he wrote something really sweet on it. And that's one that's, you know.
Sounds like a really sweet message.
Very close to my heart.
Yeah. What are your passions outside the AFL?
Well, you may be familiar. I think you would be familiar. I am a big fan of Eurovision. Mm. I'm an absolute tragic for Eurovision. I actually flew to Austria, where it is this year, to watch in 2015.
Wow.
When after Conchita won. Ah. So I've been watching Eurovision for about 20 years. And I also am a huge fan, thanks in no small part to you, of slasher or horror films, but particularly the slasher.
Oh, I love that. Love that for you. Last one, and this is going to be a controversial one. I haven't actually briefed you on this one. It's whatever comes to your mind straight away. The boys running around on a tough day on the oval, white shorts or black shorts?
White shorts. and on a rainy day, it's even better.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Fair.
We are in the later time slot now. I can get away with that, right?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's not even a debate.
Yeah.
In my footy collection, I have a couple of pairs of white shorts myself, actually, from players.
Yeah, I like the white shorts. I think they look good, especially in the pouring rain.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what else I like? I like doing this show with you, but we are almost at the end of our show.
Yeah, we're about to wrap up.
And stay tuned, because coming up after us, we had to look at who it was, because this is our new time slot. It's history repeating. So that's on for 10 o'clock. Please do feel free to stick around for that. Mm. Obviously, we have a couple of messages coming to you. And also, Brendan, one last song, which is very much a you song, and I'm here for it. Do you want to see us off and introduce that after our intro?
Yeah, in keeping up with our good girl gone bad theme, late night Disney girl breaking out of her shell, fallen from grace, fallen princess theme, it's Riri, good girl gone bad.
Love a bit of Riri. Catch you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gay AFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at Gay AFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.